I actually looked on the radar and saw on the radar, as we're here in College Hall with Jackson Kennedy, Amari Anderson, D.B. Mixon here on 4th Street, I saw on the radar that Southern Miss was the only place in Hattiesburg that it was pouring down rain on. So it's just kind of funny that as soon as I got out of lunch, I was like, hey, I think it's time to walk to class, but it was raining, so that's tough. But we have a jam-packed show for you this afternoon here. We're going to jump into a lot of sports that have been in action here on the campus of Southern Miss. And then we have a special guest, Alex Helbling, goalkeeper for Southern Miss Women's Soccer. We'll have her on in just a little bit to talk about the women's soccer team and everything that they're going. They're full force into conference play, just had two incredible wins this past week. And then, but before that, we're going to go through Eagle Eye. We're going to talk a little Southern Miss Arkansas State. We did not have a post-game podcast on Saturday night, and the reason being was we were tired, and there was also another game going on at that moment, so I didn't really want to stop that game. Anyways, okay, Jackson, let's go into women's soccer.
All right, so starting off with women's soccer, like Dima said, Southern Miss women's soccer won both Sun Belt contests this week in fantastic comeback fashion. On Thursday, Lexi Griffin led the Golden Eagles to their first conference win of the season against Troy. Troy led 1-0 at the half. 7 minutes into the second half, Rebecca Vega headed the ball into the top center of the net following the corner kick from Hinano Nakagawa. With 14 seconds remaining, Nakagawa passed to Lexi Griffin, who sent a shot to the top left corner of the net off of her left foot, breaking the tie. Yesterday on Sunday, Southern Miss beat Arkansas State 2-1 after the Red Wolves took the lead in the game's opening minutes. Adara Nakano leveled the score to 1-1 by converting a penalty kick into the upper right corner of the goal. Sophomore forward Alice Williamson made an unassisted shot into the back left corner of the net during the final 20 minutes of the match for her first career goal, securing the victory for the Black and Gold. Next up, the Southern Miss soccer team will head to Norfolk, Virginia to face the 2022 Sun Belt Conference champions, Old Dominion, on Saturday at noon.
That is a fun trip up to Norfolk. That'll be a lot of fun. We'll have Alex, part of the team, on later, so a lot more about women's soccer here in just a bit. Head over to the hardwood, Southern Miss volleyball. Southern Miss fell to South Alabama in three straight sets Thursday and Friday night in the Jaguar Gym to start conference play this season. Mia Wesley led the team with 10 kills and 18 digs for her fifth double-double of the season. Atkinson and Lenin also recorded 9 kills, and Dems placed the team with a 4.417 hitting percentage for 6 kills on Thursday night. On Friday night, Kaylin Dems led the team with 13 kills, a 393 hitting percentage, tying her season high. Wesley added 12 kills and 6 digs in the match, and Atkinson and McAda each registered 7 kills. Defensively, Megan Harris led Southern Miss with a season-high 23 digs. Then headed over to the greens, men's golf, Southern Miss junior Ryan Dupuy shot a team low round of 70, and freshman Subicorn, I'm not even going to try to pronounce that last name, actually. I think Zion did it a whole lot better than me, so shout out to Zion. Added a 1-over-72 to lift the Golden Eagles to a 10th-place finish Tuesday in the 54-hole Bearcat Invitational in Cincinnati, Ohio. The Golden Eagles shot a 5-over-289 over their final 18 holes to finish 26 strokes behind the team champion Chattanooga there in Cincinnati. Amari, what happened in Jonesboro, Arkansas this weekend?
Well, it wasn't good. Southern Miss dropped the fourth straight conference opener and the third straight under head coach Will Hall after losing to Arkansas State 44-37. This was an offensive fire show for two offenses that ranked near last place in all of NCAA in the yards per game. Both teams combined for 874 yards of total offense, with Southern Miss outgaining Arkansas State 449 to 425 yards. Southern Miss trailed by as many as 17 points in the third quarter, and despite a late desperate rally, could not hold off Arkansas State's offense. Frank Gore Jr. rushed the game high 132 yards, putting him over his 3,000 yards for his career, as it also marked the ninth 100-yard rushing game of his career, tying him for sixth with Sammy Winder and Shelton Gandy. Bill Wiles finished with a season high of 215 on 20 of 36 passing, with two interceptions and two touchdown passes. Southern Miss fell to 7-1 under Will Hall when they scored 30 points in a game. So next up, Southern Miss entertains Texas State at home Saturday at 6 p.m.
We did not have a post-game podcast, so I wanted to – we got about 10 minutes or so to talk about Southern Miss Arkansas State. Jackson, instant reactions. Not really instant anymore, so I guess two-day reaction. I don't know. How long? Like, less than 48 hours. The Monday after. Let's say that. Yeah. Monday after, first initial thoughts, now that you've had a couple days to think about Southern Miss losing to Arkansas State.
You know, we are objective journalists, as we have been hired by. But if you remember the Golden Eagle faithful, that one hurt. Because that one hurt to watch if you have any love for Southern Miss in your heart. Because, you know, Arkansas State touted to be the worst team in the conference, and it's not particularly close. And, you know, in our preview, we were like, hey, this true freshman little quarterback, he seems good, but they're probably going to save his a year of eligibility. You know, the other two guys have more experience, but they're not very good. Southern Miss should be fine. And I on the screen... on the Jumbotron at Arkansas State, for their starters, whenever they introduced the starting quarterback, they had the picture of all three quarterbacks up there because they still hadn't really decided, or they were trying to play tricks or whatever. But then the true freshman came out and he carved up the defense. And I don't even – yeah, he played great, but it just – that bunch was not particularly nasty for the Southern Miss defense, which is not very it was such an uncharacteristic game from Southern Miss's defense, and it was an encouraging game from Southern Miss's offense, aside from a couple really, really embarrassing turnovers, like, you know, a punt block that was that rolled out of bounds, and then you had just a bad interception, and then Billy Wiles' second interception. It wasn't his fault. He was throwing a cross route and then got hit hard as he threw it, so obviously it's going to be wobbly. It's not going to go where you want it to be. But I would say the biggest upsetting thing, if you remember the Southern Miss, if you like Southern Miss, I would say that the most upsetting thing and the thing that stinks the most all season, really, is that this offensive line is not who we were told it was going to be. It going into the season, Dima and I had very high hopes, and I mean, on paper, they are the best offensive line that Southern Miss has had under Will Hall, and the best offensive line in quite some time for Southern Miss. And they are the biggest aside from South Alabama's offensive line, and that's kind of where South Al shines. Like, they never really have incredible, or they haven't really had incredible quarterback play, dare I say, but like, their offensive line gives whoever's under center plenty of time to make those reads, to do things. And it was, they haven't really performed up to standard all season, and the biggest thing that gave Dima and I confidence picking Southern Miss to win in convincing fashion was how poor Arkansas State's D-line was, or how poor their front seven was, and Billy Wiles had no time to throw the ball. Dima, what did you see from the offensive line?
Well, I thought they had actually a pretty good game. I mean, they had the best rushing day of the whole season.
Yeah.
You know, Frank Gore, like Amari just said, 132 yards, and then Rodriguez Clark also with 70 to 80 yards. So I don't think the game was on the offense at all. I don't think the offensive line was at fault. I don't even think Billy was at fault. I don't think anybody on the offense was at fault. 37 points with 449 yards is exactly what I think everybody expected the offense to be against an Arkansas State team. I think it's more the 44. I think 44 points to the worst offensive team in the country, let alone the Sun Belt, I think is where the real question lies. Like, what was Arkansas State doing to affect what's touted to be as one of the better Sun Belt defenses in the country? And I think that there was parts of the game where, you know, I didn't think Jay Stanley had a great game. I thought that he really looked bad up there. I saw something on Twitter where he had a pretty bad PFF grade. I did not think that the linebackers looked all that good. I thought the defensive line was getting pushed around. I thought that Arkansas State was able to easily run through the tackles. There just wasn't a whole lot of defense played on ice either side of the ball, but I think for Southern Miss's defense, it was very questionable to what their game plan was coming into this game, which it is hard because, like Jackson said, they didn't really know who the quarterback was going to be, but you don't expect a true freshman to be able to dice up a defense like that. And so I think this game isn't really on the offensive line or on the offense. I think it's more on the defense, because 37 points on the road with 449 yards of offense. I mean, that I don't know what else they really wanted Will Hall to do, and or Will Hall's offense to do. I mean, I think it's more on the defense. Amari, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you, Dima. The defense just, I hate to say it, but they really sucked it up this weekend. I mean, I really don't have any more words besides that.
Yeah, you just read it off. Southern Miss fell to 7-1 under right. Will Hall when they scored 30 points in a game. Like, that means that if Southern Miss can score 30 points, the defense is going to hold them to less than that, which is a very important stat to see, you know, because it is baffling to me that the one game that, you know, I know that you aren't normally here for a Thursday podcast, but Dima and I, we gave bold predictions, that and Dima's bold sure prediction, win. Dima's bold prediction was that Southern Miss would force four turnovers.
Yeah.
And there was only one turnover, and that was, I mean, kind of in garbage time right before the half. And it was just really, really upsetting to see from a standpoint of, like, knowing what this team is capable of and how they didn't rise to meet that expectation. And I really don't know what that could be. Like, because, you know, for the Tulane game, I said that this seemed like the Georgia State game last year, where everything that could have gone wrong did go wrong, and every time that Southern Miss got momentum, it was stripped from them. And that's why it was such an embarrassing loss, especially at home. But going into Arkansas State, I guess we all thought that the team would play a little bit more angry, a little bit more like they wanted it. And there were times where, like, players were jogging even when somebody else had the ball. And that's, like, that is the last thing that you want to see. But kind of moving away from our thoughts,
I want to go through a couple of quickies that I wanted to talk about. So a few of the fans asked about the play calling. Watching the game personally, and I know that people are frustrated with the play calling. They're talking about one of the plays. I think it was like 3rd and 8, 3rd and 9. In the fourth quarter, Schlumis is trying to get back in the game. They run a wide receiver screen. It gets blown up. Why are you running the wide receiver screen there? You know, I think there are certain plays, anytime you lose, you can look at and say, well, that they should have called this differently or whatever. But I thought it was a very good game from the offense. Like, I don't think there was times where I was like, okay, the offense is the reason they're going to lose the game.
Yeah.
Right. So I think that would be my thing. There's a lot about seeing another quarterback play. They're talking about, is Holman going to get his shot? Is it not going to be Billy next week? I don't think so. I mean, 215, 20, and 36 passing for Billy Wiles. Yeah, he has the two picks, but he has two TD passes. I mean, that's a career day. That's a season-high day for him. I think he's the QB1 going forward, and I don't think there's really anything right now to say it differently. Some people were talking about, just like Jackson said, were they competitive enough? I don't think so. I think that exactly what Jackson said, when I was watching the game, I felt like that they, to me, didn't feel like they wanted to win that game. And, you know, a lot of teammates or players on that team might disagree, but what I saw on the field was it didn't seem like they wanted to win the game, especially on the defensive side. So they got a really big challenge this week with Texas State coming in to the Rock. This is a good Texas State team. This is a way better offensive team. I think this could be one of the better offensive teams in the Sun Belt as of now. Auburn transfer TJ Finley, one of the quarterback for Texas State. You know, they went into Baylor and destroyed Baylor. They lost to UTSA on the road, but then they beat Nevada last week and beat an FCS opponent. I think it was Jackson State. So they're coming into the Rock as touchdown favorites, which, starting in this year, that would have been crazy to think, right?
It would have been wild.
So they're touchdown favorites. I think it could even be more than that. I mean, I would say Texas State should be 10-point favorites if it's anything like for the defense is going to play last week. So for Southern Miss to compete this week, I think the defense is going to have to play better. But from what we saw from the offense, I feel like that they do have an opportunity to at least compete with Texas State's defense. I think it would be an interesting game. Like I said, Texas State is that 7-point favorite as of right now on the line. And it is interesting to me to think that that Southern Miss scores 37 points and loses. That is really crazy. And 7-1 with when they scored 30 points in a game under Will Hall. So when the offense is rolling, they normally win, and this time they didn't win. So I don't think it's on the offense. I think it's on the defense. So that's some questions that we'll have to answer later this week when we have our Texas State preview show on Thursday afternoon. We're going to have Keith Ciardello from Texas Daily, who came on last year. We'll have him on the show. We'll have a fun show on Thursday, so be looking for that. So that's our football coverage. We'll jump right into women's soccer. soccer right after the break, and we'll have on Alex Helbling, goalkeeper for Southern Miss Women's Soccer. So we'll be right back here on 4th Street. And back on 4th Street Sports Show with Jackson Kennedy, Mari Anderson, I'm Dio Mixon, joined now by women's soccer goalkeeper Alex Helbling. Alex, thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
So just tell us about yourself, where you're from, how long you've been at Southern Miss, and just what's the season been like for you so far?
Well, I was born and raised in Colorado. I've been at Southern Miss for 3 years now. I graduated this past May. I transferred here during my beginning of my junior year, and probably one of the best decisions I've ever made. It's a great team. It's great players.
What part of Colorado are you from?
Aurora. It's Aurora? A little south of Denver.
Okay.
That's a really pretty area.
Yeah. We used to be up there sometimes for vacation, and loved Colorado. It's really beautiful up there.
I think that's on my next. That's going to be my vacation spot.
me and Cassidy, we're going to start planning vacations on where we want to, live in the future. And and just take, mini vacations. And we're like, all right, so we're going to do, North Carolina, Colorado, definitely. I went hiking in New Mexico, and I absolutely loved it. But I hiked to the top of this mountain, and I saw, hundreds and hundreds of miles away, a ski resort in Colorado, and I'm like, why does it look so much better over there? That's not fair.
Because it is.
A little hotter down here.
You must can ski. I've got to ask.
Yeah, I've been skiing since I was three. That's the other sport I did growing up was on the ski team.
Okay. That is so cool.
Okay.
I went skiing one time, and we're not going to talk about that one. So
I would love to see a video.
I want to see a video of Dima skiing now.
So Alex, couple months into the season, two big wins this past weekend. Can you just talk about those two wins and pulled them out in comeback fashion?
Yeah, I mean those wins mean a lot to the team. Last year was probably one of the worst years a lot of us have had. To only come out of all of conference with two wins and then to turn around and already have two wins now, it's a great morale boost, especially coming from behind, because I don't think we ever once came from behind last season, or I can't remember a time being at Southern Miss where we were able to come from behind. It's just a completely different team. We have a lot of new transfers, a lot of new players, and a lot of the girls who are now getting a little older just working harder. Everyone's just getting a lot closer together and playing together a lot better. But I think it means the world to this team to have those wins under our belt, to actually be able to smile after games and not be like, all right, that's another loss. So it's been a great week, especially to come from behind, score in the last 14 seconds.
Yeah.
It's probably one of the best feelings we've had in a long time.
Yeah, and last week, y'all tied with South Alabama. You won our 4th Street Player of the Week. You won the Sun Belt Goalkeeper of the Week. Can you talk about that game and all the saves that you had?
Well, first off, South Allen, this school, I don't know what it is with it, but it is the curse, because the last two times we've played them, and I've been here and we've played them, that was some of the worst days of my life. Don't ever want to think about them, but coming back is my fifth year. There was only one team I wanted to play, and it was South Allen, because I refused to leave college without at least signing or being that team. We came out, and we just defended. We played harder. They weren't ready for it. They expected us to be the same as last year. They expected to be able to play around us and get shots off, and they had no chance starting on their heels against this new team. My defense was really solid. I mean, I think South Al was getting an average of 19 shots a game against everyone else, and I want to say they only had 6 or 7 on goal. It was nice to make a few big saves, but I mean, credit it all to my defense and my entire team for getting back and keeping them from taking all those shots.
What is it like being a goalkeeper? I've always I've never actually been able to talk to one, because I played soccer when I was 4, know, and
Does
I would be
count?
Goalkeeper, but I would be picking flowers or something and blowing them. But I just feel like it has to be so much pressure.
Yeah.
Goalkeeper is a lot more mental than it is physical. Yeah. I'm not running, thankfully, as many miles as all my other field players are, but it's all mental because you're locked in the whole game. It's about just directing your team in front of you, talking to them, but then it's just comes down to those big moments. I mean, sometimes it's hard. There's no one behind you. My teammates can go back and look at film and count plenty of mistakes they made here or there. I see a mistake, it's on the scoreboard every single time. That can really get in your head, but it takes a different type of person to play goalkeeper. We like to say we're a little crazy because, we want to be in goal and we want people to run at us and shoot at us, but there's no feeling like just jumping through the air. Don't know how to explain it, but it's fun.
What sets you apart to be a goalkeeper?
What set me apart?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't start playing goalkeeper until I was 16. It was my sophomore year of high school, actually. I got too many yellow cards on the field. My coach was like, you're a good player. You understand the game. Like, I was very good at reading the game. And she was like, but you're so aggressive. And our goalkeeper had left, and she was like, just try it. I thought she was crazy because I've been playing since I was 3 years old, never once played in goal. But I tried it one day, and I was like, this is kind of fun.
And so being a goalkeeper and being one of the veterans on the team, do you see yourself as, like, having to be one of the leaders on the team? And if so, like, what do you bring to the team? How do you lead all these new players that you were talking about?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I also talk to our coach, Coach Mo, all the time. Always asks us older girls to be leaders. But especially, it doesn't matter what age you are as a goalkeeper. You have to be a leader. You're at the back of the field. You can see the whole game. You can see everybody. And if you're not talking, things aren't going to go well. I think for me, I've been fortunate enough that this team has always had girls from many, many different countries and many different places. And you learn over time how to talk to everyone differently, how to communicate. There are some players that like when I'm just loud and I yell. There's other players that I can, like, take the time when it's a goal kick or a corner kick and tell them. I think it's just about understanding your players and talking to them, and then also earning that respect off the field. I mean, I'm kind of known as one of the team nerds. I always help girls off the field with, like, their studies, especially with science, because that was my major. It's just about being respectful to them on and off the field, being their friend on and off the field, because then when I am yelling in a game, because I'll yell, they don't take it in the wrong way.
Go ahead, okay. Mari.
I was going to say, could you, like, just share some moments from us that are memorable, like, from these past two conference games at least?
Well, South Al, first half, their number one forward, and I rewatched game film, and the commentators on Sunbelt could not stop talking about her the whole time during that game. It was in the first half. She had a breakaway. One of my defenders got caught, and they just played a long ball. And I just had to come out, and she ended up trying to shoot, but it deflected off me straight into her face, and she dropped. But, I mean, it felt good because it was a big save. That could have been a goal. It was going into a water break because it was really hot that day. But that felt really good. At Troy, in the second half, we were down 1-0, and it was the first 2 minutes in that second half. And we wanted it, and I knew we had it in us to beat that team. They had a shot that, like, was barely going over my head, and I was able to get a fingertip to hit it off the post. And sometimes as a goalkeeper, there's just those shots where I was like, I have no idea what I just did, but it worked. But it feels good.
And I know you get back-to-back shots most of the time. So, like, how do you keep your energy up for yourself and for the team? Like,
honestly, that's just part of who I am. When I'm playing a game, I'm always locked in. I got a lot of energy. And as a goalkeeper, like I said, there's nothing we hate more than being scored on. So nothing's going to stop me from getting up and trying to get that ball out, because I don't want that feeling. I don't like looking on that scoreboard and seeing a number by their team name. No.
You know, one thing I didn't realize about goalkeepers is how much communication it is with the other teammates. Can you talk about that a little bit and how important that is? Because, you know, you watch a soccer game, you think it's like, oh, the goalkeeper's kind of just like standing there doing nothing if the ball's on one side of the field or the other, hypothetically. But really, there's a lot of communication.
Yeah, you're honestly communicating the whole time. You're also not, people don't understand, you're not just standing there. Like, when the ball's shifting, I'm shifting too. So if my defenders get it or someone gets it, they got to pass it back. I got to be in a better position for them to be able to pass it back instead of them having to find me where I just decided to stand. But ultimately, the talking, like, it's constant with my defenders, because you have your outside backs that some will step up, and then you have to make sure you still have three back. You're pulling people back. You're pulling midfielders back. You're just constantly talking, and then especially that's, like, if they get a counter, if they get a switch ball, if you're not talking that whole time, you're already too late. I don't think there's a time where I shut up during games. I know my center defenders probably sometimes are like, all right, you can stop now. But, you know, I'd say the most tired I ever feel after games is often mentally and not even physically, because you're just locked in for so long and you're talking so much that you're actually drained so much mentally. But it makes all the difference. Your defenders, no one can see as much as the field as you can, and there's the difference.
Yeah, and, you know, Can you talk a little bit about your relationship with the other players off the field?
Yeah. When I first came in, most of the girls that were here are gone, unfortunately. I was really close to them, but I still have a few of my other fifth years. Tay Collum, she's one of my center defenders. We've always been close on and off the field. I think off the field, I'm not just crazy on the field. I'm a little crazy off the field. I'm loud. I always like to be doing things. I don't like to be sitting at home and bored. And a lot of my teammates live at the cottages. Everyone's house is always open, always walking in and out. And I just like to be weird, crazy. I'll walk in, make some noise, annoy them when they're trying to do homework. I'm just that teammate. They never have any idea what I'm going to do.
Yeah. And what's your relationship like with Coach Mo?
Coach Mo, what a dude.
We had him on the show 2 weeks ago, so he was talking a lot about team chemistry and the relationship with you all, so I was just curious.
Yeah. You know, I think with any coach and player relationship, you have those moments where you're like, all right, not a fan right now, but coach has to give constructive criticism. He's got to be hard on you. I mean, he's a coach. It's his job. Us winning is his livelihood. But I think he always comes from the best intentions. He genuinely cares about the players off the field. On the field, I mean, we're all a little crazy. Sometimes that man also don't stop yelling, but he's always coming from a good place, and he cares about the girls off the field. I mean, when it comes to college coaches, it's hit or miss, but he's definitely one of the better ones.
That's good. And, you know, Southern Miss soccer, how important is it just for fan support? Do you have any messages for Southern Miss soccer fans who are cheering for your team coming up this week playing a really tough Old Dominion team?
Yeah, I mean, fans make all the difference. We got a big stadium, our field, but it's got so much room around it that it can be so quiet. But our team, like, we pull that grit, we pull that energy from the fans, from mm-hmm. hearing them scream for us. And I remember when we played South Al, it was probably the most fans that we did have. We had some of the volleyball girls there, some of the basketball team, and it made all the difference to hear them chanting. And as a team, when I go away, when other teams have packed stands chanting for them, it can get in your head. It can make a difference. You don't feel like you ever have the momentum. Yeah. So, I mean, if fans can ever come out, we always want them. The more, the better.
Yeah, and what's kind of the thoughts going into Old Dominion on Saturday?
I think we're all excited to go to Old Dominion. The last time I played Old Dominion, we were in Conference USA, and we played them in the finals and lost 1-0. There's only a handful of us on the team here still that played in that game, and we're here. Definitely want revenge. Definitely looking for that. But I'm just excited. I think everyone underestimated us. They predicted us pretty low in the conference, and then we came out, tied South out. We have 2 wins already. I'm just excited to play ODU and show everyone, don't look at those conference standings, because we'll hold our own, and I promise you we'll be back at conference.
Awesome. Anything else from any other questions?
So kind of like you said, did you use those conference standings, and did the team kind of use all the doubt heading into the season as poster board material?
Oh, yeah. Our captain, Lexi Griffin, she printed out a picture of, like, the pyramid version of all the standings, and we put it on every single one of our lockers. And at first, the first time you look at it, you're like, wow, that sucks. Mm-hmm. We're right there at the bottom. But then it was all the motivation in the world to just go out there and show everyone, like, we're not that team. Don't underestimate us. But honestly, I love being the underdog. Mm-hmm. Absolutely love being the underdog. It gives us even more to fight for. And no, that I remember when she first printed those, some of us were like, what are you doing? We don't want to see our logo here at the bottom. But I think these last 3 games, having that actually there is awesome to see the teams that we've held our own against that we've been able to beat and what everyone else thought we weren't going to be able to do.
It's awesome. Alex, thanks so much for coming on the show. We really appreciate you coming on.
Thank you for having me.
That was Alex Helbling, the Southern Miss women's soccer goalkeeper. And they take on Old Dominion this weekend in Norfolk, Virginia. We'll be right back on the other side of this with our flower section and wrap up. So stay tuned. Jackson Kennedy, Mario Anderson, D. Mixon here on 4th Street. Back on 4th Street. Sports show with Jackson Kennedy and Amari Anderson. I am Dean Mix, and it's time for Flowers Section, brought to you by University Florist and Gifts on Highway 49 in Hattiesburg. You can enjoy all of your floristy flowers. You can get flowers.
What word
there.
Would that be?
Florist. Yeah, you can enjoy all of your...
All of your floral desires.
Floral.
There we go. That's perfect.
Look at your that. Your floral desires.
Go. Can't you tell I have an English minor, guys?
Yeah, I definitely don't. And, you know, sometimes.
I was going to say all these journalism majors, but. Yeah. They have a political science major.
Yeah. And a psych major.
Psych major.
Okay. What are y'all even doing up here?
I don't know. I was a big Southern Miss fan, and then I was good friends with Nathan Lee because he went to Purvis for a speech and debate, and I went to Oak Grove, and so he and I were friends. Hey, you should come to the studio. And then like they brought me on and I was like, wait, I have to be objective.
Oh God. Time for 4th Street Player of the Week. We have 4 nominees and I will read them off and then we will drum roll and announce our 4th Street Player of the Week winner. We just had our last week's 4th Street Player of the Week winner on the show. You just heard from her, Alex Helbling, and that was a really good interview. She grabbed her flowers and walked out the door. So we have another vase of flowers for our winner today. So for football, we have Frank Gore Jr. as a nominee for 20 carries, 136 yards, and 1 touchdown against Arkansas State. Kalen Demps for volleyball, 13 kills on a .393 hitting percentage this weekend against South Alabama. For soccer, it's Alice Williamson, who scored the game-winning goal against Arkansas State in that rally. And then for golf, it's Ryan Dupuy, who had a team low score of 70 in the Bearcat Invitational in Cincinnati, Ohio. Ladies and gentlemen, can I have a drum roll, please? And the winner of the 4th Street Player of the Week is Alice Williamson, another soccer player. So
this was the largest margin of victory I think we've ever seen.
She blew everyone out. It was pretty crazy. I think it's insane that we had 2 soccer players in a row. Have we had 3 soccer players in a row or 2? I can't remember who was the first winner, to be fully honest. But anyways, it was a Darren Akinno.
Yeah.
So three soccer players in 3 weeks. That's crazy. I think that's the first 3 sweep we've ever had in soccer, especially when football season has started. I mean, normally we'd have a football player win, but, you know, from what
right
they're
now.
Doing.
Can't blame them.
Yeah, you can't blame them. So, but anyways, so congratulations to Alice Williamson. We have your flowers right here. And so that's our 4th Street Player of the Week this week. Closing out the show, I just want to say, go Cardinals.
Hey, the Cowboys are not winning the Super Bowl.
I feel like Amari's a Cowboys fan. She's like looking at us weird.
Actually, I don't have a team. I was just discussing this the other day that I need to get a team.
Green Bay Packers. No. Okay, look. The reason why the Green Bay Packers are cool to me, okay? So they started off in Green Bay, Wisconsin. And they didn't have an owner. They were just a group of guys that wanted to play. And they had
we're not having a Green Bay history lesson.
No,
this is not the show to have a Green Bay history lesson.
There is no
nobody cares.
Controlling it.
Nobody cares.
Says the Saints fan.
Yeah,
hey, Jordan.
I think
just took
98% of our audience listening to this.
The Saints are like my number one spot right now. So
I'm
not even
saying.
Gonna lie.
98% of the people listening to this don't want a Green Bay history lesson after they just lost to Green Bay yesterday.
I'm in hostile territory as a Packers fan.
All right, well, I will not allow a Green Bay history lesson. If you want to like Green Bay, go for it. You can talk to him after the show. It's just funny that the Arizona Cardinals beat the Cowboys yesterday. I was laughing hysterically. And the only reason to do that is because we shout out Austin Lindsay each show because he is our friend. He is our captain. He is our man. He taught me everything I know.
Our shepherd.
Him and Charlie Luttrell, I owe everything to them, but I will always, you know, the C word on CRAP on the Cowboys. So I don't know if we can say that word on air. I really don't know what we can say on air anymore. Yeah.
What?
I don't know.
But Zion could have.
Zion said some things on here I wouldn't have said. So
awesome.
Yeah, you did. Amari.
Oh, you missed the best moment in 4th Street history, actually.
Anyway, so good win for the Cardinals. Another good win this weekend that I will not mention as well. But just want to shout out that was a great win on Saturday night by some team who won on Saturday night. Just want to say,
you mean Central Michigan?
Beating
South Alabama.
Yeah, Central. Yes, when Central Michigan beat South Alabama, man, I jumped up out of my screen. It was on like the final play of the game.
When anybody
pulled
beat
my hamstring,
South Alabama, I jump out of my
on. God, that's so real.
But Jackson, you were out at baseball scrimmages this weekend.
Yes, I was.
So why don't you? We got what 4 minutes. So you give us a 2 minute. I'm challenging you to 2 minutes.
No,
not gonna happen.
There's 4 minutes 50 seconds left.
You're not talking for those four minutes.
I'm talking five, baby. Five. No. Okay.
2 minute timer on the clock.
I'm gonna take your phones. So I would say the biggest thing that I took away was this team is gelling together very well. There were a lot of worries going into this year, and a lot of the Southern Miss faith were like, oh God, we're gonna suck. Now, Gavin, was this the second year in a row Southern Miss fans have said that? Yes. Do I think this is going to be the second year in a row that Southern Miss baseball proves them wrong? Also, yes. This team is very young, but very talented. You know, one of the more impressive plays that I saw, and I think probably the biggest display of how well this team is kind of coming together and coming together as a brotherhood, even with the new guys, redshirt freshman Jake Cook was on the mound, and he pitched to Slade Wilkes. Slade Wilkes nukes it. I'm talking like
expected.
If it was with the, but it was wide right, but he hit it. It had to be been going minimum of 115 miles an hour, right? And I was down to the camera well, and I was trying to film it. Just gone. And the entire crowd gasped. And then Jake goes, that was still a strike, Slade. And then everybody just starts busting out laughing.
That's awesome.
And Danny Lynch, who many, including me, were going to miss seeing in the peep, he's a grad assistant now. So he's That's one great. Of the coaches for it. It was awesome, That's awesome great. To watch. And so he was umpiring, actually. So whenever he would call somebody out at second, and people were like, oh, come on, Danny. And everybody was just kind of joking around. This team has really come together, but I think one of the most interesting things to talk about, this entire batting lineup is going to change, but this entire fielding group is going to change. You know, you saw Nick Manis there become an absolute stud at second base. He's now the center fielder.
Well, that's not for sure.
It's looking like it. From my talks and my interviews with Slade Wilkes and Carson Pato, it's looking like the lineup for the outfield is going to be Slade Wilkes in left field, Nick Monaster in center field, and Carson Pato in right field. That's the current look. That's the current feel. From what I talked with the players and Coach Oz, that's kind of what they expect from it, or at least kind of how they were hinting at it. But, you know, moving from infield to outfield, that's a huge, huge transition. Yeah. And there was a short fly, like there was a short pop fly, and it was coming down to land. Nick Monaster made a diving catch where his glove slid on the ground and came away with it, and the entire team erupted for him. And Carson Pato said in my interviews afterwards, he said, you know, that was huge for him because transitioning from the infield to outfield, that's a huge transition. And for him to get a big play like that in the fall scrimmages, it did a lot. And everybody talked about Nicky, and they were just like, dude, he's unreal. He's just a beast. And another beast, Slade Wilkes, he's got a cannon of an arm. So seeing him playing outfield this year is going to be really, really impressive.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. Fall scrimmages going out all throughout the fall with fall World Series starting soon. Obviously, in fall scrimmages, they kind of move people around. Nothing is ever for sure until you get to next February, so just wanted to point that out, that nothing is for sure. But baseball, you know, it's not that far. We're like 3 or 4 months away from baseball season, which felt like we just walked off the field against Tennessee. I said this last year when they played Ole Miss, and I was like, man, it's already baseball season. I feel like we just walked off the field when they lost in the Super Regional. Now it's like, I feel like we just had the Super Regional when they lost to Tennessee, and now it's already time for Fall World Series again. Be looking for more coverage there. We'll try to get out to a good bit of the scrimmages and get some more info and data to you as we look forward to next baseball season. But it's football season now, and football starts next Saturday for Texas State. We'll be there at the game. We'll be covering the game. We'll be giving you all the updates, follow all of our stuff. Thursday afternoon, we'll have our podcast, which will come out Friday. Be checking out the site. We'll have a paper out on campus on Wednesday. We'll have lots of stories coming out on the site on Wednesday as well. We'll have stories for sports. We'll have stories for news. Everything you want on SM2Media.com. Check out Southern Miss Student Media on YouTube to find video forms of these podcasts with instant reactions and game picks and bold predictions and everything. And you can find all that you can find all this audio wherever you get your podcasts. So, for Jackson Kennedy and Amari Anderson, I am Dia Mixon, and that was the 4th Street Sports Show.